You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702.
For the curious.
Live.
Online.
Smartphones.
DSTV.
And 92.7.
And 106 FM.
Welcome to the final hour of the Eusebius Makaiser show ever on 702. This is my last hour of radio here at Prime Media. I've had two Prime Media careers, really. The first was initially when I started, I hosted a show called Politics and Morality late on a Sunday night, 11 p.m. until 1 a.m. Some of you obsessed with radio remember it. And then I had Talk at 9. I then left the station. I was at Power and I came back. And since 2016, I've been back. And first standing in for Reedy when she was in maternity. And then after that, when she came back, she did the afternoon show. And I took over Eusebius Makaiser show. And over the years, I've obviously had the chance to engage many of you, many politicians as well, including Minister Lynn Brown. Hello, Lynn.
That somebody's my partner, and I don't think I need to actually say yeah whether somebody's my partner or not, because I don't ask you who your partner is.
Hello.
Your call has been placed on hold.
Company on the oil contract, and on the second contract, so she wasn't part of the company, and that is now before the press ombudsman. And the second contract, if there was any influence, she can do it on her own, but if there was any influence, she didn't get the contract.
Hello, Eusebius. It's me again.
You rascal.
We tried to get Lynn Brown to no avail. And she has sent her regards. She's not available. I agree. You cannot come on in your last hour or so of radio with Snot and China. We have to produce a segment. And one of the big stories that stand out when I was your producer at the time is the Grant Thornton story.
Yeah.
And I believe Abel has a bit of a clip of that now. And if you can play that, I'd really like listeners to remember that pivotal moment.
You revoke an offer that you made to her on Monday. Can you explain to me why you decided to revoke this? A woman talks about how she had been sexually preyed on, and your response is to revoke an offer of employment. I mean, please, that makes Grant Thornton an ally of patriarchy and misogyny, not a place where women are safe. Can you explain to me why you revoked this offer of employment after she told her story of being abused at the hands of a boss?
Eusebius, I don't think the offer of employment or its retraction has got anything to do with the sexual harassment claims.
That's what you say in the letter. I've just quoted your words to you. You said, and I'll quote them again in case you forget what you said, "While we respect your right to deal with your concerns, we note with concern that you have now elected to make negative public statements of the firm and its employees with the intent of causing reputational harm, which means that the reputational harm suffered by Grant Thornton because the director talks about being sexually preyed on by a man in the company is of far more concern to you than doing the right thing for the woman."
You see, because
those are your words, Julian. Read them back. I'll give you your letter you sent her. There's the letter you sent yesterday at 5 to noon.
Eusebius, we supported Dusha to do everything we could in terms of the sexual harassment.
So why did you revoke the offer of employment?
Because we believe now that she is not willing and not interested in working. In fact, she has said that, not interested in working with us. And I don't believe...
But she could have told you that herself. Why did you revoke that? She hasn't had an opportunity to say, "I don't want to work with you anymore." You revoke that. You are pissed off that she spoke out about being violated.
Our firm is concerned about our reputation. But we are able to stand here and cross my heart, head and heart, I know that we have done the right things, and we were, as best as we could, we stood by these two ladies through
you
everything.
You haven't.
And we have a
the two women are unemployed, and Vernon is still contracted, isn't he?
Vernon is working for specific clients directly.
So he's contracted to
them.
Grant Thornton in South Africa. Is that factually true?
No.
Has he worked there after his initial resignation?
Not at our premises.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Because remember, this audio will live long after you and someone has called in and said they can prove this. When someone hears this being played back in a different, in a more legal forum rather than a media forum, your words will come back to haunt you. I'll give you another opportunity. Has Vernon done any further work with the firm after he initially resigned to escape the DC process being completed?
You see, Bess, Christine is aware that we agreed with her that there was particular cases that he could work directly with the client. He's not on our premises. He's not working for us, other than an invoice goes via us.
Okay, you're changing your tune there, but unfortunately for you, I've also done a little bit of law. Have you paid Vernon for services rendered after these complaints of sexual harassment?
We are a channel for his invoices.
You're a channel for his invoices? I mean, please, you can't get worse than that. Have you paid him for services rendered? Yes or no?
You see, Bess, I'm not sure that this is the issue. The issue is that ladies didn't feel safe in our environment.
Can I tell you why it is the issue? Because the women who have spoken out about being sexually harassed are penniless and without a job. The predator, in a different guise, continue to be able to invoice you, and you are, quote-unquote, a channel for his invoices. You are more than that. You are paying money into his bank account for services he continue to render, while a senior woman, 4 law degrees, including from Cambridge and Oxford, is effectively told, you are causing reputational harm, we revoke our offer to have you back, and Vernon continues to be able to invoice you for services rendered. I mean, that is just, not just bizarre, it is callous at the very least, and the legal argument, which I think you're going to find difficulty with, because many lawyers are talking when they heard yesterday about the possibility of vicarious liability at an institutional level.
Yo, Megan, you're going to make me cry.
Wow. I think that was a moment that we both were together with investigative journalism in a period of 2 weeks and turned it on radio.
I don't know what to say. I want to thank you. I mean, that's... I was saying on Facebook the other day, you know, producers are not given their due in the industry. And I was being interviewed, I think, by a radio station in Boston. And the presenter asked me the most brilliant questions about my work. And, you know, they even had lifted particular interviews I'd done here on 702, et cetera, et cetera. And when I thanked the presenter, the first thing he did was to thank his producer. And in our industry, there's a lot of juniorization. There isn't enough mentoring. There isn't enough incentives. You get paid poorly. You get treated poorly, including by us as presenters. I've had many, fortunately, good producers that I've worked with. Laura, who's at home and recuperating from this darn virus. Mava, who is one of the best in the industry in TV and in radio, who's been absolutely brilliant. I remember when I went to Power, Given McCurry will tell you, the first thing I told him is, I won't come to your station unless you hire Marva, because he's the only person I want to work with, because he is that brilliant. And then there's you. I mean, the others are all very good. People like Mbakazi, Kamagwini, they're all very good junior producers and producers. But as executive producers go, you are one of the best in the country, and the SABC is so lucky to have you. They would be idiots to not appreciate you, to hold on to you, and quite frankly, to pay premium. Although my debating and legal skill was shown off in that exchange with Grant Thornton, people do not know how much hard work went into that, specifically on your part in setting it up. Your commitment to justice is deep, and the work we did there, as well as on equal education, some of the best work that we've done. And I really, really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. With producers like you, it's easier for me to have longevity. When I don't work with a producer of your quality, then my health suffers, because then I have to do more than I should.
This has been a serious time, so thank you for that accolade. But I think it's, you know, when you have a good relationship with the anchor, when you have a good relationship with your team, you produce great TV, you produce great radio. I am producing great TV at the public broadcaster, and it takes a lot of work. But before we go here, because I want us to be fluffy, we love these stupid news quizzes that I hate to put together, so I've got a quick quiz for you. What is your message to McKinsey and Lord Singh, Melissa Gicardo, and Jacob Zuma? Quickly.
Say that again.
What is your message to McKinsey and Lord Singh, Melissa Gicardo, and Jacob Zuma? Come on.
What is my message for them?
Yeah, because they're the only people who couldn't get onto the station.
Well, that's true. Well, I'm not going anywhere. And as one of our callers, Dawood, said a little bit earlier, these people with their hands in cookie jars are still among us. And the opportunity to hold them accountable is not going to go away. The wheels of justice may turn slowly sometimes, but they do turn. And I think where there's prima facie evidence of criminality, including the former president, they will yet see their comeuppance, Megan.
And then just three more questions that somebody asked me to pose that they want to know about you. Do you hate white people?
Some of my best friends are white people.
Are you an only child?
No, I'm not an only child. I've got a brother who is doing service. He's in the SANDF. I've got two sisters as well. I have a brother who sadly passed away a couple of years ago. So I'm definitely I'm not an only child.
And then lastly, this is my question before everybody else comes on. You have the dog. So when do you plan to propose to Bay and start living in sin as a Catholic? Goodbye, you CBS. We wish you well. I'm sure we will see each other. Abel asked if we would work together.
Hold on. You can't go just yet. I've got two questions for you too. And you are, as we say in Afrikaans, particularly as colored people, yes, you're your bekgevali, so you have to answer it equally honestly. Because I wanted to give people a taste of what it's like to do this show, and I'm not going to have time because time is running out. What was the most difficult thing about working with Eusebius?
The mood swing.
What was the nicest thing?
Is your compassion and your interest to separate your work life and your family life. You knew how important it was for me to be a mother to myself and that, you know, you can't just love doing your job. And you taught me to be able to balance that. And in my day job with TV, I've managed to do that. And I think that's what you're very compassionate about. And people don't know that about you. And it's very hard. And the first question people ask is, how do you work with us, man? I think, you know, you're not the easiest of people because I think you demand professionalism. I think you demand respect and you deserve it. But at the same time, if people get to know you and know that there's two sides to what you produce on radio, you know, I'm happy to say that you can have moments. I can have silent moments with you and not know what's going on in your life and look up and see you on CNN. And I applaud that about you because you are actually a closed book as much as you've revealed yourself here at 702.
Well, thanks, Megan, for everything. I know you will continue to do brilliant work as you have. You've been responsible with a good team, but I can see your hand in it. It's teamwork that has turned the SABC news quality around, but you have made a good contribution. Here's the closest we'll come. We're not going to say anything beyond this. People want to know what are some of the things I'm thinking about doing next. Let's just say there's a very decent chance that Megan and I will still work together. Goodbye, Megan.
Goodbye. And the house said you want a free lunch. Bye.
702.
Open line.
And then I've got my darling Laura on the line. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Yubi.
How are you feeling, babe?
Yeah, just going through the motions. This virus is not fun. And this idea of 2 weeks in and out, I don't know where people got that from. But yeah, we're getting better. And yeah, just thought I'd call in. I heard the last hours about what goes into the making of the Eusebius MacIsaac show. And I thought, who better to call in?
Then my executive producer, I miss you and I'm so sorry that you have had to battle with this virus. I've really, really been worried about you and checking in with you. And what I've learned from you is that some days are better than others. How is today?
Yeah. No, today's good. I'm standing in the garden getting some vitamin D and... yeah, it's been a long road, but hopefully on the road to recovery now, and we'll be back in studio hopefully soon.
Yeah.
But I heard Megan talking about working with you, and everyone's been talking about some of the things that they'll miss about you. But I thought, let me call in and tell you the things I won't miss about working on your show. Should we start with Sunday afternoon, evening, late night calls? You don't sleep. So when I message you at maybe 10 o'clock saying, sorry for the late message, you're like, no, but it's early.
Sleep is the cousin of death.
Yeah, well, but yeah, I know the last couple of months have been really tough, just putting really great radio to air, and it's been fun, and I know this won't be the last time that you and I work together, but as all of your guests and all of your callers have been saying, maybe it's just time to rest a little bit,
yeah.
Work on you and look after your health, and yeah. Work-life balance.
Absolutely. Well, Laura, I want to thank you. You know, different producers have different traits that they bring to a show, and each one of you that I've worked with have been remarkable in what you've brought. I mean, Megan has a almost manic energy that when you are on the move and you are in the middle of a hectic news story on location is particularly needed. You have an incredible calm that is needed when I am being frantic. And I have needed that complementarity with my own headspace, particularly at the beginning of this pandemic when we went into drive mode. You are incredibly, incredibly consistent. And I was delighted when you agreed to come back to the programming division of 702 after you had a stint in a different part of the business. And I'm sorry that I abruptly decided to not continue after our love affair with radio. But I have a sneaky feeling in other projects we're going to continue working together. And you have a sense, which I can't just yet, of the kinds of creative things that I want to do post 702. And some of it intersect with work that you do outside of radio as well. So I think there'll be opportunities for us to work together. But thank you.
Absolutely.
For, as Megan say, I can be very moody. I can be exacting and demanding. And somehow through all of that, there's been incredible consistency. And I think the connection, I hope you would agree with me, is content. The content that you and I have both enjoyed being drawn into is what has kept our relationship going. And it's definitely going to be one of those relationships that will be sustained way beyond working together. And that's the ultimate test, whether you can still remain friends and colleagues once you no longer formally work together. And I'm sure we will.
Absolutely. And your bae owes me and Theo a home-cooked meal once my taste buds are back and once we can visit again. So we'll definitely be taking you up on the offer.
Cheers, Laura. Thanks, my babe.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate
sure.
it.
702 Open Line.
Okay, so I can't give you a full description of what goes into radio, but I want to give you a basic sense of what it is that I keep alluding to, what Oliver was talking about, what Megan was talking about, and also Laura, two producers that I've worked with a lot over the years, and also Mother. It is extremely difficult doing a mid-morning show. Last night, I had a wonderful, over an hour-long conversation with Ziyanda Ngobo, who's one of our best, still young and already very good journalists. And we were talking about radio technique, TV, the differences between the two. And I've also reflected with other broadcasters who've had the mid-morning show, what goes into this particular show and why it is so difficult from a technical point of view. Even if you're mediocre, it's a difficult show to pull off. And I tell you why. If you're a radio nerd or if you're interested in journalism as a craft, maybe you teach in journalism, yes, what the challenge is with a mid-morning show in South Africa or anywhere in the world. The problem is, firstly, that this show goes through three phases of the day. There are very few shows that do that. At 9 o'clock, some of you have not yet or are beginning to have breakfast. You are bleary-eyed. You are not yet fully awake mentally, emotionally. And that means my place in your life should be as someone who is understanding that I am joining you perhaps at the tail end of breakfast. Unless you're an energizer bunny who got up at 4, you went to gym and you're already fully awake, second cup of coffee. I have a lot of listeners who at 9 o'clock are still sort of getting into their day. By 10:30, 10:45, we've shifted in tone. Now everyone is in mid-morning mode like I am. I've had a cup of coffee here.
You are wide awake. It's a different energy. By the time we get to 20 past 11, quarter to 12, some of you are having early lunch. Over the course of 3 hours, that means that you've got subtle but technically difficult tonal shifts that you need to make as a broadcaster. I can't talk to you easily about death or the meaning of life at 9 o'clock. I mean, I probably would because I'm just weird that way. But I could do that at 11:30. But what I can talk to you about is hard news, analyze the president's speech, economic policy, open line, rough and tumble at 9 o'clock. The middle hour, there we have greater thematic flexibility. We can do an international relations topic, an ethics topic, whatever. After that, it is almost like a help desk. How can we improve your life? Whether it's world of work, whether it is dealing with rape survival, whether it is sexual issues with Dr. Eve. Now, just see what goes into that. It means that the host needs to have thematic range, tonal range, the ability to shift gears, to go from what Megan and Abel had pulled from the archives, high-level accountability of Grant Thornton, where you're basically going into moot court mode. But you have to go from that maybe at 10 o'clock, and by 20 past 11, you and I are having snot and trana as we are mourning childhoods where we were raped, where we were beaten in schools, and that is incredibly difficult, really, really difficult. It's far easier to do a show where the brief is singular. Just give me the news straight. No emotion, no thematic range. That makes it very, very hard. A little bit later, I will tell you more of what the consequences are of that challenge. But before I do so, I want to put on the line a very good friend of mine, Conrad. How's it, Conrad? Thank you for holding on.
Hey, Eusebius. Wow, what an amazing day. Wow.
I don't know what to say. I just love you so much and where you fit in. You give so much of yourself to this country and in your own work as a comedian who's so much more than a comedian. I saw that the WhatsApp message you deleted. I can't unsee it. And even though this is my last day, I'm still going to call you later to engage your question because you are so reflective about your own work.
That's part of why I deleted the message and what the message was about. So you see this, everyone said what needs to be said about you. I mean, you're a brilliant mind. You understand this country in absolute complexity. But I think what a lot of people don't get is that when you have your level of profile and you go into a studio and have to make decisions to talk about something, you know that you're going to get abuse at a level that people do not comprehend unless they've got a few hundred thousand followers on social media and producers pushing you in certain directions. And when you make a choice going, I'm going to deal with this company that's not facing its own misogyny or whatever choices you've made, and your choices have always been incredibly complex, that you are deciding to put yourself in an emotional firing line where soft power gets applied, executives pull some very dirty moves, etc., in order to not let you say what you want to say. And you've consistently said it. You've consistently sort of towed a very tough emotional line, and I just real kudos to you for that. I feel that very powerfully. You've stood by me at very difficult times in my life tonight. Just max respect, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I love you so much. It's Conrad Koch, of course, brilliant South African stand-up comedian. And part of his brilliance is that he takes very seriously the potential harm that comes with having a massive, massive platform, and he doesn't take that for granted. I really love that about him.
CK 702
Open Line. Zanele, hello.
How are you?
I'm
sad and excited to see you all at the same time. And like the rest of South Africa, I've been desperately trying to have my 2 minutes or my 5 minutes just to give my note of gratitude, wish you well on your journey. I mean, sometimes when you're in the work and you're doing the work and you're kind of showing up every day, living your soul's purpose, you don't realize the impact you have on people's lives. Mm. And I wanted to just
share with you, you know, the impact you've had. Maybe we didn't always talk about this, but the impact you've had on my life and some of the listeners, especially in the corporate world in South Africa. If you remember how we met, I called in when you had a guest, I think, at the time, and I offered a slightly more radical perspective around what employees should be doing in the workplace, and that and you kind of said to me, I like your alternative view, come back to the show. And you've kind of allowed me to go with that thread. And you've given me a voice, you've given me a platform where I've been able to continue the work that we do, where we are fighting for opportunities for young youngsters, young black, you know, boys and girls, women, to get into leadership positions. And we're, you know, we're putting the leadership out there, and we're holding them accountable for creating the critical mass that's required to create the shift we want to see in our society. And holding leadership as accountable is something that you do every single day, and you've shown us that it's possible. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Zanella. Thank you so much.
The revolution is being televised, my friend. And, you know, nobody can silence that. The world has changed. And we hear it. We see it. You've gotten up every day to live your truth, speak your truth. It's gone into people's living rooms. And in turn, they're spreading that word. Sorry, I'm on more streets than traffic.
That's okay.
And I just wanted to let you know that you're held up in light by so many of us whose lives have changed. And we're out there, we're rooting for you, and you, and whatever endeavor you're going to into your future, I know you'll be amazing, and we're all looking out for it so that we can continue to support you.
Thank you, Zanella. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. 702 Open Line. 21 minutes before noon, and we've got 20 more minutes left, you and I, on the Eusebius McKayser Show, on this, my final show on 702. Let's go to the lines. Muzuki Isi, hello.
Yusebius, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Sometimes all the time, I'm saying, you're time, I'm going, so. Kind of easy, I'm in Flung, you're looking at the 702. God, what? I'm not a bill. How are you?
I'm good.
That's great. That's great. Thanks for your good work.
Thank you.
We're going to miss you. You were part of my daily program.
I can't believe I didn't recognize his voice.
Yes, my big boy. Are you all right?
I'm good. I'm just wondering, oh my God, my Xhosa's so swak. Ek kan nie eens vertaal wat nou gesê word. Die almal gaan nou weet. Ek kan nie eindelijk reg praat nie. For those who are wondering, this is my dad who's calling in, who is fully fluent in Xhosa.
Okay, Yugi. Ons het jou show baie geniet. Ons het dit baie mis. Play humble. Ek is baie trots op jou, laat jou voete plat op die aarde hou. Ek het baie geleer van die show af. Was baie educational. En met die lockdown, het jou show een groot rol gespeel in my lewe. Ek het basis een dagelikse routine gehad. Luister na jou show. Na 12 uur begint ek te gym. Vat ek een uur break, daarna begint ek te kook. So alles van die beste voor en toe met die nieuwe richting waar jy gaan inslaan. en baie lief vir jou hoor.
Ek waardeer dit. Een vraag.
Yes.
Wanneer mense nonsens praat van my op Facebook, hoe reageer jy daarin?
Man, dit laat ons op bloeddruk opgaan. Maar dis maar nou deel van dit. En soos die een beller vroeger ingekol het vanoggend om te sê dat daar is maar mense wat dit haat en daar is mense wat jou show like. So,
ja, dit kom met die territory. Ja.
Ja.
Thanks, Daddy. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, boy.
Cheers.
See you then. Bye.
Oh, my goodness. We normally prank each other, so on this one, he won. I can't believe it took me that long to actually recognize his voice. And we've got a great advocate in Porfu. Dali, hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. Now, here's a voice I recognize instantly, even more quickly than my dad's there.
Yes. No, I know. Look, I was planning to call towards the end, but not planning to call after the daddy. You know? that was very touching, yeah. Eusebius, well, we're all going to miss you. And I think let's start with the thanks so that we don't forget the thanks. But I wanted to take up your challenge. You were saying we must start by saying what irritated us and what we liked. Let me tell you, for me, the two big irritations, but fortunately one has now been resolved. I've always been irritated by your self-professed liberalism. because I don't believe that you are a liberal. So I was very happy this morning when you said when you're talking about black excellence of a left-wing person. So I said, there's the confession that comes. So that one is forgiven, yeah. Then the second irritation which I had was, I think around January, February, March 2018. I'd probably even stopped listening to you for over the month because I was irritated that I was more disappointed that you were also part of the Ramaphosa wave that was taking root. Everyone was thinking, now that Zuma is gone, what's the opposition going to do, blah, blah, blah. And particularly that demonstration in that for that racist thing at the store. You remember, I think I did call you and we had a fight over it over the radio. But so apart from that, seriously, as everyone has said, on a serious note to CBS, one of the greatest contributions you've made is just to show people the value of debate. Mm. And it's something that's very frustrating in this country. And I think for me, maybe because of my profession, it's always irritating when people don't understand that we can differ, we can fight, we can have all sorts of bitter differences, but we're still human beings and we can still be friends. And it doesn't mean we must diss the other person or get unnecessarily personal. I was saying to somebody yesterday, for example, I was representing Musima Emane in court. And somebody says, how can you guys even be in the same case? And I told them that, Musi and I were drivers. We were both running for the premiership of Gauteng in 2014.
Yeah.
And so we had many, many debates, but we struck a friendship as well during that process. So that's why it was always. And that's really, I don't know what we can do. So in your new life, please continue to force that into South Africa, that we can debate, we can differ, but it's fine. But that's what democracy is all about. And I think you've done a great job in that respect.
I really appreciate that. It means the world to me, advocate. It means a lot to me. And like you say, differences are okay. I love the fact that I have access to you. You are generous. Just a couple of Fridays ago, we were on the phone for almost an hour talking law about one of the cases, legal strategy. Yeah. In another life, I would come back and join you at the bar. I love the law. I love your passion of it. But more important than that, I love how, unlike many other lawyers, and it's not a diss, it's just different ways of choosing to
relate to your profession, how you intersect the law with an appreciation of social and political life in our country, and the basic commitment that we share and that you share with Musi, which is why you can engage across differences otherwise, is a deep commitment to two elements of our democracy, its deliberative nature and its participatory nature. And I want to thank you for your commitment to that.
Well, thanks, Yubi. And I must pay tribute to somebody, all the callers have said it, to your sharp intellect. And I can attest that you will make a great advocate one day. So I will be waiting for you at the bar.
Thank you so much. Thank you, sir.
Cheers.
That was Advocate Dali Mpofu. Okay, my mask continues to give trouble here because of the volumes of calls we've been getting. But let's go to line 7. James on the line. I'm now no longer sure where the people who are calling in are, where they're pretending to be. But let me nevertheless say, because this is what's written in front of me. How's it, James?
Hello. Hello. This is the police. I'd like to report. I'd like to follow up on a case that I opened up 6 years ago about a stolen heart. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Jeez, what is there to say? Jeez. And now at least I'm not the one laughing, huh? It's you.
I know.
But anyway, I think the best I could say is, again, also thank you. I think the outpouring love from everybody over the past 3 hours and actually the past 6 to 10 years you've been on radio.
You better tell people you are, James.
Hi. I'm the Jizzle.
So this is my boyfriend.
I'm the Jizzle from Sandown, not from Rosebank.
It's your turn to tell the story. You may as well take a minute. Tell people how we actually met.
Why do you want to put me on the line?
He's very shy, by the way, or pretends to be. But it's a good story. It just completes the circle of the last 3 hours.
No, it does, actually. So I used to be the Jizzle from Rosebank. We used to call in.
When I was doing Power Talk.
And long story short, we cyber-stalked each other. And I came over one Sunday and never left.
Quite literally.
Yeah. But I think there's nothing more to add, except when you get home, I'll probably have something special for you for lunch.
Thanks.
And I think you'll be amazing, and at least Agba will have you for the whole day.
Thanks, next week. Thanks. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Appreciate it. And thanks to the producers who've set this all up. My dad calling in and also my boyfriend. Yeah, he used to be a regular caller when I was at Power FM on Power Talk. And I just thought, who's this guy? Coconut. Must be middle class. I like middle class people, unlike Karima. And I went to check him out on Twitter, liked what I see. Then I stalked him. And then one day he said, I'm in Santa. And you say you're in Santa. And I said, cool, come over. He came over. Within a week of him and I meeting, we moved in together. And we've been together ever since, 6 years later.
No two. Open line.
Someone else I've been stalking forever and a day is DJ Fresh. Hey, sexy.
Dude, the way you're in my life, my wife is even giving up. Dude, why are you even doing this, though? Like, what's going on? You know, it's not too late to change your mind. I mean, you can be like a bride at the altar and just change your mind.
There are very few brilliant broadcasters like yourself who have such exceptional longevity. You are still fresh. You are still awesome. And I'm going to enjoy having even more time to listen to you now.
May I tell you why I'm actually calling? I'm actually calling to remind you that not only are you a voice for the voiceless, but you're also an inspiration to broadcasters such as myself. You know, often as broadcasters, we don't want to rock the boat. We want to play it safe. We want to be liked by everyone. And one thing you constantly remind me of is that it's okay to have a position and defend that position and not necessarily even be emotional about it, because you're willing to debate it because that's what you believe. Mm. And I think you've played that massive role for a lot of broadcasters out there who might not have the opportunity to call in right now, and thank you for that. People also don't understand how you're almost risking it all often when you speak truth to power.
Yeah.
I mean, telling you my own story, you know, because of stuff I've spoken about on the radio, I've gotten death threats. My home has been petrol bombed. I've been shot at. Mm. These are things I don't necessarily talk about because it's neither here nor there. Mm. I just take them as occupational hazards.
Yeah.
And I've endured all of that, not even speaking truth to power half as much as you do, and still you continue to do it. And I think often we take it for granted how much you risk just putting yourself out there the way that you do.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to thank you on behalf of many that don't have the balls to actually say, we're going to deal with this issue the way you've done throughout your career. So thank you for being an inspiration, man.
Thank you, sir. It means so much, so much to me. Thank you, Fresh, coming from you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And to journalists listening, I don't want to talk about the being shot at or being petrol bombed.
But those are real consequences, and that's quite apart from the other health consequences. I've collapsed in the studio. I had to be rushed last year to ICU. I've had to sit with my shrink and talk about work. There are enormous consequences internally and quite apart from the others. Yeah. Thank you, Fresh. Thank you for that.
Thank you, brother man. Love you so much, and looking forward to your next chapter.
Love you too. Thanks, my man. Okay, let's dance into the weekend and out of the show. Thank you to every producer, every listener. Thank you, thank you, thank you, politicians that have allowed me to hold you accountable, other powerful people. What is there left to say other than thank you for many years of fantastic radio on the 702 platform? I'm going nowhere. I'm shifting platforms. I'll tell you on social media over the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, let's jam to Jerusalem.